Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 18, and the Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The word of the Lord from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to see me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for my ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Today we remember St. Luke. The feast of St. Luke, celebrated on October 18th, invites Christians around the world to honor the life and contributions of this beloved saint and evangelist. As the author of one of our Gospels and the book of Acts, St. Luke leaves a legacy not only on the Christian calendar, but also on the hearts of those who treasure the scriptures. St. Luke, often referred to as Luke the Evangelist, was a physician from the city of Antioch in Syria. He was a highly educated and, according to a tradition, an artist and a man of letters. St. Paul converted him and became one of the earliest Christian missionaries. He traveled extensively with St. Paul, remaining with him while he was in prison, and even until Paul died in Rome. In the final chapter of St. Timothy, which is our text, St. Paul touchingly writes, "Only Luke is with me." This text reminds us that Paul was coming to his end on this earth, and he lovingly mentions that Luke is with him. Of course, Luke's end on this earth will also come to an end, and thus the words of our text are wonderful for all of us who are realizing that this race of life is coming to an end. When we get to that end stage of this race, we get to be a bit more contemplative and reflective on looking back on our life. Our world is big on looking back. Each time the Olympic Games draw to a close, viewers are treated to a video montage of the highs and the lows, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And whenever a sport concludes, you can see a look back at the champion season, how they got where they are. There is a reason for this because the games are over. The fights are fought. The races are done. Viewers can't look to the next one starting up the following day. The next competition may be months or years away. There's really nothing to do but look back. Well, the world acts the same way at the end of life. When someone famous dies, we are often treated with an extensive look back at the things they did and the speeches they made. When a friend or acquaintance dies, it's customary to gather, to reflect, to share memories. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. One of our most recent Medal of Honor winners was a Marine named Dakota Meyer, who served with me in 3rd Marine Division when I was in Okinawa. He was on a mission in Afghanistan and was a hero as he tried to save lives of his fellow Marines, soldiers, and allies. You need to read the summary of his Medal of Honor to grasp the heroic efforts of this young man. But by the grace of God, he survived. He's now out of the Marine Corps and runs a program called Own the Dash. His point is that on your tombstone, you will have your birth date, your death date, and the dash is in between. What does your dash look like? How are you living your life? We miss people because they're worth missing, and we want to remember the treasure we had in them. Such retrospectives, however, can convey an unintended sadness. It's when the look back becomes the entire focus of a funeral service. The danger of only looking back during a funeral, it can leave the hearers with the idea that there's nothing to look forward to. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Without the hope of the gospel, each person fights the good fight as well as he can for as long as he can. But eventually, he's overwhelmed and loses the fight and dies. Or he runs the race as hard and as far as he can, but eventually he falls, and the race goes on without him. That's life in this world if you have no hope. There's nothing in the future to look forward to, and the present time of grief is a horror of frozen time. The best you can do is look back and see what it was, but what is lost is no more. That's the law which is preached by the shadow of death to this world every day. Apart from Christ, one must contend with hopelessness that will either drive one to despair or rage against God or an attempt to turn death into a friend. But none of that has hope. As St. Paul writes in our epistle to St. Timothy, his death is near. The time of his departure has come. So he writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now would be a good time of retrospective for Paul and Luke, who is with him, to look back on his life, review his accomplishments and travels, maybe talk about good friends and fond memories. But Paul doesn't opt for the past. Present at the moment in a Roman prison and awaiting execution, he looks to the future. Why? Because he can. Because he has hope. The hope of heaven and eternal life for Jesus' sake. He declares with confidence, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. He's looking forward. He's looking forward with confidence. There's no doubt. It's significant that Paul declares that the righteous judge will undoubtedly give him and all believers, including Luke, eternal life. Paul is confident of heaven, awarded by the righteous judge. It's not that Paul has made up for his previous sins and crimes by his work as an apostle. No number of good deeds can restore the life that he took or wash the blood from Paul's hands. It's not that Paul doesn't deserve condemnation, that his sins are not worth prosecuting in God's eyes. This is the righteous judge who hates sin. No, it's nothing that Paul has or hasn't done that makes him certain of eternal life. It's all about who Christ is and what he's done. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge who will come to judge the quick and the dead. But while he is righteous, he is also merciful. And so much so that he desires to be merciful that the righteous judge suffered the death sentence for the sin of you and me and the whole world on the cross on behalf of those who would come before him at judgment. Paul and Luke know that heaven is theirs because Jesus has already suffered hell for them. This is Paul's point when he declares that this crown of righteousness will be given not only to him, but also to all those who loved his appearing. Paul doesn't specify which appearing, but whenever Christ appears, it's good for his people. His birth in Bethlehem in a barn brought peace and goodwill. His appearance on the cross won salvation for the world. The Lord still appears in his word and his sacraments, and where he is, there is forgiveness, life, and salvation. That's why Paul and Luke at his side can look ahead, because heaven is there solely for the sake of Jesus. And because it was solely for the sake of Jesus, the crown of righteousness is certain. That same hope is yours. And it's just as certain because it is for the sake of Jesus. We are always in the shadow of death in the sinful world. We don't know much how much time we have left here on earth. But we can say with confidence, along with Paul, Luke, and all the saints, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. No matter what lies ahead, remember that it is all for the sake of Christ. But for now, you will run the race. Your pace might be faster or slower, but the finish line means eternal life by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. By the grace of God, you continue to hold on to Christ and his cross. No matter the fight, you know you are Christ's. No matter how uphill the race, you know you are forgiven. His merciful purpose is to turn you from looking back at yourself to looking at Christ. That is your assurance of salvation. That is why you can look forward with hope, certain hope. The crown of righteousness is given to you for Christ's sake, who wore the crown of thorns for you. So what's your dash look like? It's all about Jesus. Amen. And now by the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.